Well, even with safety precautions in place, is it true that you almost drowned when you first appeared on Saturday Night Live?
No, it is true that the first time we were on Saturday Night Live, I realized that there was a problem, but we had a safety system in place to deal with that, which is, I'll give you a little secret about Penn and Teller. If you ever are looking at us on stage and you happen to see me take my left hand and open it and close it rapidly, finger by finger, sort of rippling the fingers like, I don't know, the tentacles of an octopus, that means we're in big trouble. Turn off all the lights and save me. And we had a guy directly off camera who was watching my left hand, and if I had given that signal, he would have rushed up, unlocked the water tank that I was locked into, and let me out in good and safe time. I judged from where I was that we could just about get through the bit without him having to come and do that, and my judgment turned out to be right. But I mean, what's the worst thing can possibly happen? I could be embarrassed on national television. Well, big deal. You know, that's a lot better than dying. So the biggest risk I think I ever take is the risk of embarrassment. And the avoidance of embarrassment to me is the least worthwhile of human motives.
Well said. I still have my VHS tape of that appearance and others. I've saved it all these years, my Penn and Teller tape.
Well, if you look at the expression on my face there, where I look very tense,
Yes.
like I'm really concerned, it's because what's going through my mind is it time to make the emergency gesture now? No, not quite yet. I should tell you that we have never had an injury, of more than, now and then you get a minor scrape from something. When Penn has juggled broken bottles, for example, now and then he'll get a little cut on his hands. But apart from just minor injuries like that can be fixed with a Band-Aid, there has never been an injury to not only either of us, but any of our crew. And you'd be hard-pressed to talk to really any company of performers who have toured who can make that boast.
When is the last time that you've watched your film, Penn and Teller Get Killed?
I watched it about a year ago, and I love it. I think it's a funny movie.
I do too. And the last time I watched it was a few months ago, I think when I first heard that I might be interviewing you. And I was really struck by how incredibly young and good looking you both were.
No fiddly. Well, that's just my comparison with now.
Well, it just reminded me, I guess, that as such a fan, I feel like I've kind of grown up with you guys. In that movie, you do several things that are very impressive to me, and one of them is when you catch the pigeon. Can you actually, if you so choose, walk up behind a pigeon and catch it?
That's something I don't think I'm going to answer.
Okay.
Because precisely that asking yourself that question is part of the fun of that scene. And I think if I answer that question one way or the other, then it makes it a little less fun.
Well, I
I
won't.
did, however, spend tons of time learning to handle those nunchucks in the scene that's in the motel room where I do that whole fancy nunchuck routine. That was weeks of work.
And do you still ever have you tried to do anything like that recently?
I have a, I no, I haven't had a, I haven't had occasion to need it. I don't think I'd have very much trouble reconstructing that routine because I practice it so deeply that I'm sure it's still in my bones.
Did you ever imagine that you would one day become one of the world's greatest mimes?
I don't think of myself as a mime. I mean, I'm just a guy. I think of a mime as someone who works completely without props and in a sort of neutral environment. I
Yeah,
don't,
I guess
you
you're
know,
right, yeah.
I just try to convey ideas without talking. And the interesting thing to me, when I first did it was an experiment. I was in college. I was a pretentious, bloated college student who thought that being silent would have such great profundity. And I did fairly terrible shows, but I made a discovery, and the discovery was that for some reason, when I didn't talk, I felt closer to the audience, and I felt more in control than I did when I did talk. So I was able to work rough fraternity parties and actually momentarily get the attention of the frat boys who would normally be simply obsessed with their cups of beer. Having discovered that, then I just sort of, I became intrigued with this whole idea of lying without speaking. And the more I worked at it, the more I found that I can do less and less and less, and the ideas can come through more and more and more strongly. So it's fascinating to me that I do what I think is, you know, zero mime, but I think I get the ideas across pretty plainly. And he also feels incredibly intimate. You know, it's that situation of standing in front of another person. They look at you, you look at them, and you're saying nothing. You know, that's an incredible sense of closeness.
Do people, you think, treat you differently than Penn when you're, say, meeting the crowd after a show or in a new situation? It almost seems like you would benefit from a certain compassion that people may not feel for Penn.
Undoubtedly, there's the people that we are on stage is just really edited versions of who we are in real life. And so there are qualities of Penn's and there are qualities of mine that I think people are responding to that are, you know, that are genuine. After a show, people will feign surprise that I can speak. And that's their way of saying, oh, I know your work. And you know, that's the same sort of thing will happen if I'm, you know, out, you know, at Disneyland or something. I was once walking through Times Square perfectly innocently, and there were a pair of police officers standing by the curb, and one of them held out his nightstick right in front of my chest and stopped me and said, "Name?" I said, "Teller." He turned to his friend and said, "See, I knew I could make him talk."
That's a great story. When you first came on the scene, part of your act was that you were the bad boys of magic and that you needed to shake up and sort of change or impact the magic world because it had become so staid and predictable and not, it didn't have the thrills that you and Penn wanted to inject into the medium. Do you still feel that that is part of your mission today?
It's possible that we may have influenced some people who do magic to show more respect for their audiences. Because that, I think, is sort of the, you know, not everything we do is magic by any means. In fact, you know, when we first went off Broadway, our producer said, "Now you mustn't mention the word magic in any interviews, because if you do, people will think it's a show for children. They'll drive in their station wagons and drop off their little ones in front of the theater, and no first string critic will ever review you." But that said, you know, it's certainly true that 90% of our show is some variation on magic, in the sense of what you're seeing something that you know is false, and yet it seems to be really happening. But I think the thing that we may have done that might have helped for other magicians is, from the very beginning, we acknowledge the fact that everybody in the audience knows that what they're seeing on stage is tricks. It's not, you know, we don't treat it as, whoa, maybe there really are psychic forces. We come out and say, there are no psychic forces. Now, I'll tell you what you're thinking, you know. And having done that, that level of frankness, I think, may have affected the magic community somewhat. Because I think that for a long while, they were quite terrified that if they didn't cover everything with a little, you know, with a lot of smoke and sparkles and glamour, that they'd be found out. And it is true that once you say, "I'm just doing a trick, it's just a good trick," it's got to be a really good trick, because you're not really leaving people any other explanation than trickery. And so the trick has got to be a real intellectual delight.